There it is. Well, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Well, today is April the 18th, 2025, and we'll be reading from the Big Book, and the page is 91. Paragraph 3, which begins with, see your man alone, and it ends with, get him to tell you some of his. And, okay, and the readers for this meeting are, for the text is going to be Eileen M. The page 164 will be Penny L.C. And the backup is Julie E.B. And we have newcomer greeter today standing in, thank you, would be Sandy S. And announcements, Shelley E. All right. Now, I have a couple of previous days' share IDs, and here they are. Yesterday, Thursday, that is April 17th, 2025, for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,355. That's 22,355. Now, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting yesterday is 22,354. Now, I do have this morning's share ID at 7 a.m. That's on April 18th, 22,358. Now, this is our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we're self-supported through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Now, our fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Now, at this meeting, A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps that we took that are suggested as a program of recovery. So now I will kindly ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you. Good morning on this Good Friday. My name is Terry G. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. That's only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry that message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I thank you.
And thank you again so much, Terry G. Now I'm going to ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Jan. So nice to be with you. And thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone on the phone, and especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Happy holidays, everybody.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Joanne L. There's just been a change in the order of service. We're going to ask the newcomer greeter today to be Alex K. Okay, I hope you're there, Alex K., our newcomer greeter. All right, now this is how our meeting works. Thank you. Pardon me. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. What we do is we read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. I may just, if you're going over 3 minutes, I just may kindly say time. And our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic, and this meeting does not request that you This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So in order to share, please press star 1 to unmute. Now, once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Now, today, we're going to resume our study in the Big Book on page 91, paragraph 3, and I will now ask Eileen M. Good morning, to please start reading.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career when you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. Okay, so what I get from this is, at first, engage in general conversation. So what does that mean exactly? Like, what is general conversation? You know, what I typically do is ask the person to tell me about themselves. And, you know, I make sure that I pay close attention to what the other person is saying. You know, we listen, I guess, you know, our job is to listen with empathy and not judgment. And, you know, I think it's very important in this general conversation that the other person feels heard and understood. And it's important to be, you know, approachable and friendly, and to just, you know, try to put myself in their place. I like how on page 90, you know, the instructions are so clear. It says on page 90 in the first paragraph, it's get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, et cetera. I think that's very important. You know, we ask them to tell us about themselves in general, and that really helps me to determine if I can help them or not. But I think it's, you know, it's really important to be friendly, and, you know, we don't monopolize the conversation. I think it's, you know, it's really imperative to show interest in them, you know, to get to know them. And I love how it talks about at the end about, you know, we can be humorous. You know, it reminds me of, we're not a glum lot. You know, we can tell him humorous stories about ourselves, and I think that helps to establish rapport as well. So thank you so much, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M., for your reading and your experience. Okay, now, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. That's in order that others might share their experiences too. So now we have... we're going to take some names, and then I will repeat your name so you know that I heard you. Who would like to begin sharing?
Rachel L.
Okay, Rachel L. Gotcha, Rachel. Next.
Tanya G.
Tanya. I heard Tanya G. Another person?
McCall S. in Massachusetts.
McCall. Oh, McCall. McCall S. from Massachusetts. Okay.
Jen
Anybody
P.
else? Jen P. Where are you from, Jen?
New Jersey.
And Jay. And we'll take one more of this lineup. Okay. Next. All right. If not, we'll go to Rachel L. Where are you from, Rachel?
Hi, Rachel L. compulsive overeater, official 100-pounder from San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my goodness, it is so funny how higher power works. Me and my sponsor were just talking about this last night because I was kind of going hard with potential sponsees. You know, they would call me and say, hey, I'm looking at you to be, you know, my potential sponsor. And I'd be like, well, this is what you need to do. This is my, you know, terms and conditions and da-da-da-da-da. And they'd be like, whoa, I got to think about this. And I was like, I don't know why nobody wants to be my sponsee. I'm amazing. I'm great, you know. And my sponsor's like, what do you, you know, let's look at you, Rachel. And I'm like, yeah, what am I doing wrong? And, you know, we just read this part of the book, and I go, I'm not doing any of that. You know, I'm not doing any of that. And I was just like, wow, you know, the big book, you know, really says it all. And I was like, wow, I really need to start listening to the big book and not doing it Rachel's way. I need to do it the big book way, you know, and listen to the steps and, you know, do what I, you know, do what the big book says to do. Because I need a sponsee because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away kind of thing. And, yeah, I was going hard and just wondering why everybody was running away from me. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel L. from California. Thank you for your honesty and share. And Tanya G., where are you from?
Yes. Good morning, Janice. Good morning, everyone. I'm Tanya G. I spell my name T-O-N-I-A. G as in girl, and I'm from Louisiana. And I'm recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy. I love this, and I love both of the shares, and I wanted to jump in because I'd probably get too nervous if I didn't. But I could so relate in so many different ways, especially to the what was just shared about, you know, this is the way I did it, and this is the way I have to do it. And, you know, and I didn't even think about these words in the book, you know. And because all I know how to do is sponsor the way I was sponsored. And, you know, and but what I wanted to share with is it was making me think back to the very first phone call I made over 30 years ago when, you know, we called the OA phone. For those of y'all who did that, I'm 25 forever, wink, wink. But we used to do that, and someone would physically answer the phone. And I remember just telling this lady, and what I think about is, you know, eventually, you know, I could tell funny stories, but the shame that I felt, oh my God, to even tell anybody, and how much that was relieved though and released because I was telling somebody I ate out of a garbage can and they said me too. And then I was like, oh my God. And I drove around and I stole money from my mother's purse, and I snuck out to, at, you know, in junior high, it was kind of funny, you know, you snuck out, but I was just going to sneak out to buy food to binge on, you know, when I was spending the night with my best friend or something, you know, and it wasn't loads of food and it wasn't progressive like, you know, it is today. And that was like when I was 12, but I really crossed the line a long time ago, you know, and the fact that, you know, fast forward, you know, I did have recovery as I knew it way back when, but then, you know, the disease is progressive. And it was just like, oh my God, I can't stop eating and eating and eating. And it was just taking more and more food. And then people could relate. And then I got so suicidal because I've been in the program for so long. Thank God I never left the rooms, you know. I was still going to meetings, but I would sit in the parking lot and eat before and after, or I'd just sit in the parking lot and never go into the meeting. But, you know, then I found these Vision for You meetings, and it was a lifesaver. But what I was going to say was, you know, I heard that people said, I've been in OA for 30 years and I only have a year or two of abstinence. I was like, really? But even though the disease is progressive, so is recovery. And so
there'll be time.
Okay. And I'll just finish. Thank you, Janice. And I just want to encourage anyone, please don't ever leave the rooms and keep coming back. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Tanya G. She is from Louisiana. Now we have McCall S. from Massachusetts. Good morning, McCall.
Hi, good morning. My name is McCall, and that's spelled M-I-C-H-A-L. My last initial is S, and I'm going to go with Serenity today. And I am from Massachusetts. Thank you for your service. Thanks. A great lead. Great lead and great share so far. And this is perfect for me too, because I get overexcited. I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's get you recovered quick. And, you know, one of the things that stood out to me as I was reading this along with the, you know, this morning is all the underlines I put under if, you know, that was something my sponsor shared with me, you know, like if this, then this, you know, or if this. And it's like, right, if I'm just kind of open, like here's a guide or a suggestion, you know, if possible, you know, let this happen. You know, so my way, my rigidity of like, let's check a box and go forward. Like if I'm doing my prayer and meditation and I'm open, you know, this is going to flow a little more easily, but I still need direction because I'll just go off and, you know, so this paragraph also reminds me of the woman who sponsored me, and, you know, she let me talk, and then when it was a good time, she shared, and I loved that, you know, just like the relationship evolved. And so that is what I want to pass on. You know, I get so grateful that I don't have to do this alone anymore. You know, it was just whenever I'm on this meeting and hear the, you know, this literature and the shares, and I'm just reminded like, oh yeah, I'm not alone with this anymore. So if I can remember that the individual that I'm talking to is just kind of coming through that of like, oh my God, like, oh, just the, oh. So, yeah, and I also like the direction about after a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. And I also like what was said about just kind of open with talking and, yeah, like, are we a good fit to work together, you know, just in conversation, you know, and I realized, that I could stand to do a little more general conversation. So anyway, good to be here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you. Okay. That will come from Jen P. from New Jersey. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Janice. This is Jennifer P. from New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service. This is a great paragraph, and speaking to a fellow this morning about how sometimes our relationship with our sponsor can mirror in a human way, in an imperfect way, right? Like our relationship with our relationship with a higher power can look, which is intimate and loving, trusting, caring, you know, boundaried, so many qualities too. And as I read this paragraph, I think about my sponsor, and I've had so many wonderful people in the course of over 25 years that I've worked with. But thinking about the sponsor that I currently work with, you know, that part about just engaging first in general conversation, it wasn't, you know, first let me tell you all of the, you know, to-do lists that you need to do to work with me, or a judgment of my willingness, or in kind of a inventory of my willingness. Instead, it was, hey, you know, let me get to know you. She was kind. She was upbeat. She told me to, you know, she said, eventually, she said, tell him enough about your drinking habits. She told me she was 100 pounds overweight, that she understood the torture like the compulsive overeating can cause. So she identified with me. She joined with me. And then she said, you know, she had a lot of years of recovery, but she also said, like, you can have this too. And it was just so, it was so encouraging, and it has continued to be so encouraging to me that I can have this too. And so as I get ready to work with sponsees, I want to have that, you know, I can, you can have this too. And I know one of the people that talks a lot on the line too will say, all you really need to do is when someone calls them, like, do they believe this is possible? You know, do they believe this is possible? So finally it says, you know, say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. So my sponsor didn't say, I did this, 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 this. Over the course of her getting to know me and getting me getting to know her, she has taken me through the big book one chapter at a time, one page and couple, sometimes more than one page at a time. And I'm so grateful because today I have hope and today I believe that this is possible, this miracle. And finally I'll say, it says at the end, if his mood is light, tell him humorous stories. And that's something else that I appreciate. You know, like, I love that my sponsor is funny, you know, and she may not realize that she's funny, but she's funny. And she kind of makes light of things that sometimes I just can take things so seriously. And she's gotten to know me and who I am and my family. And I just, that is like, for me, what has been
kindly
my,
kind.
Yeah, sure. That has been my, how I've been able to run the race. And I hope to help others do that too. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Jen P. from New Jersey. I'm ready to take anybody else who would like to be next.
Ginger.
Ginger. Ginger C, is it?
Ginger M.
Ginger M. Wait, yeah, just a moment. Ginger M. from where, Ginger?
From New York.
Okay. Then I think I heard Alexis. Is that correct, Alexis?
Yes, Alexis F.
And that's from New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was somebody else. Was it Robin?
Yes, Robin P. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, good. Robin. Robin P. And Nancy L., is that what you said?
Yes.
Nancy, yeah. Where are you from?
Arizona.
Oh, AZ. And I'll take one more for this group.
When?
Did somebody say somebody their name?
Wendy M.
Yeah, thought I heard that. Okay, Wendy, where are you from? Should know. Where are you from, Wendy?
Colorado.
Oh, okay, thank you much. All right, let's go with Ginger M. from New York. Good morning, Ginger. It's your turn. Ginger M. Star 1 to unmute. Maybe, Ginger, are you having probably technical problems? Are you there?
Hello. This is Ginger.
Okay. All set. Go ahead, Ginger.
Thank you. So I didn't hear the reading, but I got the gist from the shares. And what I wanted to say is that I had a sponsor, I don't remember, maybe for a few months. And for a few months too much. And I finally told her that I felt like a whipping, like her whipping dog. And I really didn't think it was good for me. So I finally ended the relationship. So since then, I haven't had a sponsor. And I wouldn't want to ever have a sponsor like that again. I actually would like a sponsor who doesn't require me to send in my meal plan the night before. I don't think I need that. I'm sort of a, forgot what you call it, but there's like a heavy overeater and then a lighter one, so I'm the lighter one. And it was really, it was a terrible experience for me. It was very, very bad for me, for me emotionally. So, but I have come back to the, to this meeting because it's a great meeting. And maybe I'll find a sponsor who's the right kind of sponsor for me. But I agree, it's very important for sponsors to look inside, whatever program it is. And kindness goes a long way. Thank you, I pass.
And thank you for your honesty. That was Ginger M. from New York. All right, we'll have Alexis F. from New Jersey. Good morning, Alexis.
Yes, thank you, Janet. Thank you, everyone, for being here. When I was a young kid, we didn't have too much money. So we ate French fries twice a week. My mother made them up with Crisco and fries, and we thought it was the greatest thing because we would sit in the living room with my shot glass full of ketchup and sit there and watch TV while we ate. We always ate at the table, but on Tuesdays and Wednesdays we could sit there and enjoy French fries, which were, kids love French fries. So my mother and father always made me very responsible with money. When my brother sold me his car, he sold it to me at the average price that he could get to it on the market, get for it on the market. And I remember I started working when I was about 11, and it was babysitting jobs. And I babysat for a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And I had to make dinner. And I remember I had to make whipped cream to go on top of the Jell-O. And I made butter out of it. I made it. I said to my mother, does it look yellowish when you make whipped cream? And she said, no, I think you made it into butter. So I, but when the eating started, it started when I was a baby. I think I was born a compulsive overeater. I was a very overweight baby, and my mother brought me home from the hospital.
Excuse me, Alexis. I don't like to interrupt, but we're just sharing on page 91, paragraph 3, if you would. Go back to that. How you, sponsoring, how you would start with that. Sorry to interrupt.
Sure, that's okay. That's fine. I had a sponsor, a recovered sponsor. Mm-hmm. I've lost over 100 pounds altogether in my time in OA. I started sponsoring. I have two sponsors at present time, one that calls on a regular basis and one that calls at various times. So I share my whole story with them. Mm-hmm. I figure it's better to share experience than it is to, dwell on what the text means to me. It depends on the sponsee. If the sponsee tells me a lot about herself, then I tell her a lot about myself. But if she wants to go strictly by the book and it's business, 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 I could be that way too, because I've read the book so many times. So, I pick up on what they say and I continue from there. It depends on what they need. It's like a child, you don't know what each child needs. So,
yeah, kindly. I hate to interrupt again, but it's
okay.
About that time. It's very interesting. Okay. I'd like to call you and hear your story. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you, dear. Okay, we're going to have Robin P. Where are you now, Robin? What state?
Hi, Robin P.
Hi.
Thanks, Janice. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive reader currently in Houston, Texas. And I'm in the member list as being in Costa Rica. So if anyone is in Houston and wants to reach out to me, I'm Robin P, R-O-B-I-N-P. And I will do the same. I'm just so grateful for my abstinence and recovery and for these instructions. And I love sponsoring. It's such a blessing. And I've also had challenges sponsoring sometimes where I've wanted it more than the person wanted it. And, or I, you know, got codependent, you know, so I get to keep recovering as a sponsor, you know, and living and learning. How do I be a better sponsor? And, I'm so grateful. I really, really appreciate my sponsees and feel like I love them. You know, it's like a, it's such a blessing. And my sponsor, you know, oh my gosh. And just my God squad. And I just keep really practicing listening and sharing what I think would be helpful. And also identifying, you know, I've never had a sponsee tell me they've done something that I haven't done, you know, with food, like, oh, yeah. And I think that really helps, too, because then they don't feel like they're so weird, you know. We all have these horrible stories with food, or some of us. Anyway, I had a very low bottom with bulimia, and I'm so grateful today. I've been in time for 9 years, and I just keep, you know, trudging the road of happy destiny with all of you. I wanted to say a very special thank you in prayers. We have been fostering these two dogs that were jungle dogs in Costa Rica, and we safely and successfully brought them to Houston. And we either keep them if that's possible. If someone is interested, the only thing is that we love so much for having our family. I just could feel the power of prayer, and I could feel all the angels on the way, just like in recovery. You know, when I reach out, I always get the most amazing help, and people up to me, I always get help. And I'm so grateful this really works in every way. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day, and I pass.
Okay. Nancy L. from Arizona, it's your turn, dear.
Thank you, Janice. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered by God's grace and mercy. Welcome, newcomers, and thank you for everybody putting this meeting together. I've had opportunities to tell my story, especially when certain questions come up. Like maybe someone might say, you know, I got married and I thought for sure I'd be okay, or I moved and I thought I'd be okay. And that's where I have an opportunity to talk about this disease follows us. It's with us. We decide to change in our lives. If it's like location, it's not going to stop the disease. And then I, once in a while, to share with when I was in my 30s, a group of us went to Washington, D.C. for an event, and there was a host family that I had never met before that said that our group could stay at their home. And so there I was in a room with a bunch of other, the wives stayed in one room, the husband stayed in the other type thing for a couple nights, and it, all free. They were so wonderful to do that for us. Well, I'm a night eater. So okay, I flew from California to Washington, D.C., and guess what went with me? My disease and my need to eat at night. So I'm laying there in the middle of the night with all these other women, four or five of them, and they're sound asleep, and I'm getting the urge. I got to eat. Oh, but I'm not home. Oh, it don't matter. I get up. I sneak into somebody else's kitchen to that host's kitchen. I'm sitting there in the dark, reading the refrigerator and eating, heart pounding out of my chest, wondering if the owners get up and walk and turn on the light and see me pigging out. You know, I mean, I guess it's kind of funny now, but back then it was so painful. I didn't get caught. I think I didn't get caught anyway. I don't know. They could have been looking around the window and or the door and seeing me. But, you know, I was able to kind of laugh with people about the fact that our disease goes with us. So it's nice. I seem to have a memory of many, many times of different things that made me see how cunning and powerful and baffling this disease is. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Okay. I was unmuting. Thank you so much. That was Nancy L. from Arizona. Now we have Wendy M. from Colorado. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks, James, for taking the meeting. Oh, my goodness. So it turns out that sponsoring is about relationships. And what did I eat over? Relationships, right? Like, just like the food, if the person isn't doing it my way, if they're not making it easy on me, you know, I'm going to have to revert to pages 60 to 63, right? Exert control, blame more, that kind of thing. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Like, my first go-to when I'm talking to a prospect, like last night I was about another program, I was like, how can she make this easy for me? How can she make this easy for me? And, oh, no, she's going off the rails, right? She's asking me questions about TV shows. If I watch them or not, or she's younger than me, so she said, do I have a problem being older than her? Is that going to be a problem? I just, you know what it is? There's no real rule book, but one thing I keep hearing is acceptance, allowance, patience, listening, open-minded, right? Because it's not going to go my way. It's going to go the way our higher powers are intending us to go, right? But that, yeah, like, or like, you know, relationships, I set boundaries and I have to make a few phone calls if I'm afraid to set that boundary. You know, they say, what is it? You know, sponsoring is like pouring miracle grow on my defects. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Relationships. How do I treat someone the right way? I often say OA is how do I treat people right? And this is where I get to learn. Last night, it was too late for me to talk to this prospect. And so I was impatient with her, you know, and I did the 11th step on it. And God's like, that's okay. But next time we're going to slow down and we're going to listen and we're going to be more patient. One of the other fears I had, like, oh, God. I mean, when I was a sponsor in OA, you know, I'm like, well, are you, you know, you're not eating, right? And like, oh, no, I'm back to the food, right? And my go-to is, oh, my God, I'm not able to do this. Like, I'm not getting her to be X, Y, and Z. And the truth is, it's none of my business. Like somebody said, I can't want this, and thanks for saying it, I can't want this more than you want it. And that's true in all relationships, including sponsoring, right? So it gets me over the hump of, oh, my God, I really want this person to like me. If I set a boundary, are they going to hate me, right? Stuff like that. And the truth is, all those fears, we just give them to God. And we remember, God is sponsoring this person. I'm not sponsoring her. God is sponsoring me and sponsoring her. And this is just a spiritual experience, and it's such an opportunity for growth for all of us. Thanks for letting me share it.
Right on. Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. We have about 5 minutes, so we can take two more at 2.5 minutes apiece. Would someone
Larry
else
G.
like? Oh, Larry. Okay. Larry, where are you from?
I'm from California.
Okay. And one more. Who would like to end up?
Judith S.P.
Okay, Judith. Judith S.P. from, is it New Jersey? Okay, let's go to Larry G. from California. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your stewardship, your service today. appreciate it. Sponsorship. It's not a vocation. It's an avocation. Mm-hmm. Where sponsors don't go to a graduate program and get a master's degree and then have to get 500 supervised hours on sponsoring. It's an avocation. We give when we can and what we can. And sponsors are not perfect. And I just want to shout out to all the sponsors out there who are given selfishly, doing the very best they can. I've had some great sponsors. I've been in 12 steps since 1981. And any of you who think, you know, that a vision sponsor is tough, just go to an AA fellowship. And ask an AA to sponsor. You'll find out how tough sponsors are. I've had many sponsors in OA, and I have been a jerk at times. I've been defiant. I don't want people to get close to me. I don't want you to question my food. I want you to sign off on my bullshit. I think the people I've worked with deserve a Purple Heart. They really have. Today I'm more coachable than ever. I'm terrified of getting drunk again with food. I really am. I'm terrified every day. I am praying to God, keep me protect and safe from myself. And I've got a great sponsor today. I'm finding work with a man. It's hard to find men in this program. I've had to learn how to work with women because you women have saved my life. Many of you have saved my life, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm working with a guy now, and he's also an AA, and he's not an easy guy to work with, but I love him. He tells me the truth, and if someone came to me in this woolly sweater with Birkenstock shoes on and drinking tea bark, I would run right over him. I can't do this with this man, and I love him for that. And he tells me the truth, which is I need to hear it because I am deceitful and dishonest. You can't trust me. What you can trust is the level of effort and energy I put into the steps. And I'm grateful for the sponsors in my life who have helped over the last 43 years. I wouldn't be here without them. It's the greatest. The greatest journey, it's the greatest relationship besides my wife I've ever been in is with my sponsors. They know more about me than my therapist. I love sponsorship and I love giving and I love receiving. And thank you. I'll pass it back to you.
And thank you so much, Larry G. Okay, I'm not that good on timing, apparently. So I think we probably got about one to maybe a minute or two, minute and a half. Judith? For you, my dear, to wrap this meeting.
Okay, thank you, Janice, and everyone for being here. I've heard a lot in this meeting and the earlier meeting on how to interpret this paragraph. And I go back to the end of chapter before this, where it says, faith without works is dead. Action, action, action. I'm in step 12 now. And so I've worked 1 through 11 really hard with the blessing of God and my higher power, who's my higher power, and sponsors. Yet I'm really a novice in terms of my spiritual awakening and transformative thinking. So these directions might seem simple. See your man alone. Nobody else but the person I connect with is going to be the one that we walk hand in hand through this experience with. And, there's much more I can say, but trust God, clean my house, and then serve people. In the big book, it nowhere says sponsor. One drunk helping another. One overeater, undereater helping another. And when I keep it simple, I don't get caught up in my sick way of thinking. I look at it clear and simply, knowing I'm determined to do what was given before me. Let me just say, God bless us all. Thank you.
And God bless you. Thank you, and everyone. Thank you for the respect of the time. Yeah, so now we're going to close our meeting with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by, pardon me, followed by the Serenity Prayer. How about Penny L.C., if you would read that for us?
Thank you, Janice. Thank you for your service.
My pleasure.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit from God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Till then.